The second scripture reading is from Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3, on the screen or on page 1193 in your pew Bible. This is from the letter to the Hebrews. God disciplines his sons. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. May God bless his words to us.
Thank you, Terry. Sometimes you find some interesting things when you open God's Word and take a look. This morning I was opening God's Word and I took a look. I had a smushed mosquito on one page. I don't know what that means spiritually, but anyway, it's still there on one page in my Bible. I encourage you to open your Bible not to find smushed mosquitoes, but to look at the wonderful words that God has for us as we go through our life each and every day. You know, last week we were talking about a journey, a ride that we take in our lives, and the willingness to go and do what God wants us to do. And I wanted to kind of follow up on that a little bit this morning, too, and take us a little bit further with that. And you know the story that was read this morning in Genesis about Lot. The other part to that that we read about is Lot's wife. It didn't fare so well for her as she looked back. And I wanted to just take a look at that this morning a little bit and how God wants us to do what he's called us to do. You know, when we use the word go, we can use it in a variety of ways. When our kids are young and we tell them to go make your bed, that's not a suggestion or a proposition. That's basically go make your bed. It's kind of like a command, isn't it? We have a lot of things we say to someone perhaps in our lives, those that are under our tutelage or whatever. When we say do something, we mean do something. When we say go, we mean go. That's what we mean. There are other times perhaps when we use the word go and it's more of a suggestion. You know, it would be probably good for you to go and do this, or it might be good for you to leave that. That's a suggestion that we use. Other times in our life we might use that word go and it's more of a proposition. That's something you might want to think about. Maybe going, maybe not going. Maybe doing, maybe not doing. And it seems so many times you and our lives when we are dealing with God, we don't always deal with the command so well as Lot oftentimes himself was struggling with. We think of go as more of a proposition or go as more of a suggestion when God is telling Lot here, go. You need to go. There are pros and cons, of course, to listening to that statement. Just like if your parents tell you to go make your bed, you might sit there and wonder, if I don't, what's the consequences of not making my bed? What are the consequences of me not doing what mom or dad has asked me to do? So what happens if I'm disobedient? You know, and I'm sure in your mind, even if it's a quick few seconds, because sometimes you don't have long to respond, you're thinking about that, aren't you? What are the consequences if I don't do what I'm being asked to do or even told to do? What could happen if I do it? What could happen if I don't do it? Do I trust the one that's telling me I should do it? No, there's a key there. Now, parents, we should trust. There's some people you probably shouldn't trust. Think about those things, the pros and the cons to doing something. But we know that when God tells us to do something, God is trustworthy. And going where God wants me to go is probably what I should be listening to, isn't it? What if I don't know where to go? God telling me to go, but I don't know where to go. I think Lot was struggling with that a little bit, wasn't he? Go. And they said, go to the mountains. And he's struggling with what these angels, these messengers of God are telling him to do. He doesn't know where to go. But if you just listen to God, he can trust that God's going to lead him to a place where he should go. Maybe another question you and I ought to ask, like Lot should have been asking too, is what am I leaving? What am I leaving? He was leaving a city that was filled with sin. He was leaving a place that was not where he ought to be. He needed to go. He needed to leave. And sometimes you and I in our lives, we are being called to leave something, to go to something else. Because where we are presently in our life may not be a healthy place for us to be. Trust God with it. Lot sort of trusted God, but I'm going to talk about this in a little bit, about what he and I and you sometimes do. It's called trying to compromise. When I look at Jesus and when he came, the life of Christ was not about staying, but it was about going, wasn't it? He was always going and he was always leading others. He was always going somewhere where there was a need that needed to be addressed. Let me back up a little bit again in this whole looking back thing. I'm not going to pick on Lot's wife this morning. We know what happened to her. She turned to a pillar of salt. But, you know, looking back has staying power. It really does. You and I, looking back, when you look back, it stops us from going forward, doesn't it? And so many times in our lives, when you and I are looking back at the way it was, we look back at the way it was and it's familiar to us. And we like familiarity, don't we? I'm more comfortable with familiarity. A lot more comfortable with familiarity, even though sometimes familiarity isn't really that good. Familiarity may not even be that healthy, but I know what it is. And so sometimes when you and I are looking back, it causes us to stop from moving forward. It has staying power. It's where my heart's interests were, whether it was healthy or not. Sometimes it causes us to get stuck. God reminds his people from time to time. On many occasions throughout the Old Testament, you'll hear this phrase that's being shared over and over and over again. And it says, remember, do not forget who brought you out of Egypt. Do not forget where you were, where I took you from, and where I brought you to, and will be bringing you to, in the case here, the promised land. Don't forget. Don't forget that one door closes sometimes and another one opens up. Lot was having a problem with that, and I wanted to deal with that just a little bit briefly this morning. It's called compromising, and you and I think do it a lot with God. We try, don't we? Bargaining with God. Having my cake and eating it too. You know, I want the blessings of God in my life, but I want to do it my way, God. You know, I want you readily available to me. I want to know that you love me and care for me and that you're going to bless me. But God, I don't want to do it the way you want me to do it. I kind of like to do it my way. So can I have my cake and eat it too? Lot was trying to do this as well. Lot was trying to bargain with the angels that were sent there, the messenger of God, to tell him, you got to get out of here because God is casting judgment on this city, on Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot was really slow to respond. Why? Because he was familiar. He was familiar with the old, and now he was going to actually have to leave and go someplace else. And they said, go and flee to the mountains. And he's already trying to bargain with them. Leon, it's a long ways to go. I don't think I can make it. How about if I go to another place instead? There's a small town that's not a whole long ways away. And let's just go to the small town instead of the mountains where you've asked me to go. And finally, the messengers, the angels of God said, okay, go ahead and go to that town. I think sometimes being too close to where we were makes us too close to where our heart was. And when we're too close to where our heart was, sometimes it's hard to break away from where we were to go to that place, that new place that God wants us to go. You think that's true? I think that's true so many times in our lives. To make that break from where we were to where we need to go, and sometimes that's really, really hard to do. But you know, we have to make a clean break. And Lot was having a really tough time with that, let alone his wife had a very tough time with it. She wanted to go back. He was at least a little bit torn. I should go because they said I should go. And I kind of believe there is a warning going on here. I better listen to him. But as his wife looked back and they said, don't look back. Don't ignore God. Keep your eyes focused where they need to be. Just like Hebrews 12 explains and shares with us that we should do. So, we are called by God to go, not to look back, not to compromise, but to stay focused. Stay focused on what we should be focused on the right thing, on the right one, on the leaving, not the remaining. There's a key. I'd like to read just a couple of verses from John, the Gospel of John, verses 7 and 8. In these verses, when Jesus was dealing with Martha and Mary, Mary took this pint of pure nard. She poured it on Jesus' feet, expressing gratitude to Jesus for what he'd done for her. And some were watching what was going on, and one of them that was watching what was going on was Judas Iscariot himself, who, of course, he was the keeper of the money bags. He saw what she did, and he was upset. He said, we could have kept this money and then used it to feed the poor, which, as you know, even in the parenthetical kinds of things stated in this, that wasn't his real intent anyway, because Judas Iscariot had used money whenever he wanted it. He was a thief. Verse 7 and 8, Jesus says this. Leave her alone. It was meant that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Why this applies, I think, to the text in the Old Testament is this. Jesus, in essence, is saying to Mary and to Judas and to all the disciples that were there, there's always going to be problems in this world. There's always going to be the poor in this world. There's always going to be aches and pains and problems and things that we can't fully and completely solve in this world. But you need to do what Mary did. Focus on me. Focus on the most important thing. Focus on the fact that I am with you. I love you. I care for you. I'm a roadmap for you. This text is not suggesting neglecting the poor, but keeping Christ at the center. So perhaps for us, as we move ahead from this Old Testament Lot text, where Lot was told by the angels to go and he was not fully engaged in that. He really wanted to go back, but he did eventually listen and he went. And in the New Testament here in the Gospel of John in chapter 12, he's telling us, focus on Jesus. Go where he wants you to go. You can't solve everything. You can't take care of everything. In fact, I want to share as I close here. I had a young man that was working with me when I was in seminary, I was the head of the security department at the seminary there. And a young man was working with me from the college side. He happened to be someone who grew up where I grew up, and that's one reason I had hired him. And he was a fairly new Christian, went to inner city Chicago on kind of a mission through a class that he was taking in the college there, the Christian college. And he looked and he saw all the problems that were going on in Chicago. And he went into deep depression. Because every time he'd go there, he'd try to help someone out and find 10 other people that had problems. And every time he'd go back the same sort of thing. And every time he'd see more and more and more and more problems, and he couldn't handle them. He couldn't take care of everything. He went to counseling for this. It was that serious. His heart was so heavy for people that were hurting, and he wanted to help them out in so many ways. And I told him one day when we were in the office together, I said, "You know, Jim, you need to keep your eyes on Christ. Do what he's called you to do and let him take care of the rest. Because you aren't God. You're Jim. Just go. We want you to go. Do what he wants you to do. He'll take care of you. Like he did Lot. Because he obeyed. And don't look back. You go back, you know what you do? When you look back, you know what you do? You end up going back to the old ways, the old things, the old ruts. God wants us to move forward. Trust him, because he's completely trustworthy. Read the whole Bible and find out if God ever doesn't keep his promises. I found every one of them he kept. Isn't that cool? Have you kept every promise you ever made? God does. He's trustworthy. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for telling us to go. Sometimes, we're like Lot. We question you. We want to compromise. We even want to do what his wife did and look back. But looking back is just going to cause us to go that direction rather than going where you want us to go. God, help us to trust you completely. Because you are trustworthy. Help us to focus on Jesus and not on all the problems that are out there, including our own. Some of them we cannot solve, but if we focus on you, you'll take us from where we are to where we need to go and be. Help us to trust you. In the precious name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen.